Hi, listeners. Good evening, and welcome back, actually, to the Nick Elliott podcast. It's show 9. Would you believe we're moving along on the kind of number count? But it's a bit of a special one tonight for me. It really is a special one. I'm joined by a very, very dear friend of mine and a legend in his own photographic history. It's Peterborough Telegraph photographer and the one and only photographer. He is the man. Dave Lowndes. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome. Good evening, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well.
It's nice to have you back in Stanground, where you obviously spent your formative years.
I did. Stangground is my college. Home.
Yeah. You know, I thought you were going to say I was a legend in my own dark room for a moment.
Well, I think the legend words is a bit more extensive where you're concerned that it is. Oh.
Right,
it is. Yeah. I mean, if I could just kind of explain, you know, to the listeners exactly. Me and Dave, we worked together at the Peterborough Evening Telegraph, as it was then. It's now the Peterborough Telegraph. And it was an evening paper at that time. I'm going back to when dinosaurs ruled the earth and sheep were careful, yeah. You know. And we met there, and unfortunately we didn't spend that much time working together, which was a bit of a gas. But we've kind of recently, after all these years, we've always kind of, you know, had a mega friendship together. But we hooked up again, didn't we? About 12 months plus again.
Yeah.
And yeah. We're now spending a lot more time together. But Dave celebrates the early part of September, I do believe September the 3rd this year.
That's correct, yeah.
He would have been doing... the photographer's job for the Telegraph for 50 years.
Correct.
50 years,
man and boy. My goodness.
What is that? That is proper dedication. And I mean, I no need to even explain how good the bloke is at doing the job. But so we're going to talk about the last 50 years and we're just going to kind of enlighten everybody into what it's like to be a high-end press photographer.
Well, I mean, we have to start when I was a low-end press photographer, often referred to as the office shag.
That's not a bad title, though, is
it? Well, no, I mean...
Yeah. Any title with shag in it has got to be.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I started, as we said, in 73, you went straight into a dark room, didn't you? All training photographers went straight into a dark room.
Yep.
And you weren't allowed out of the dark room until you could do 100 prints an hour, something silly like that. But I was really, really lucky because our friend John Sandel was the deputy chief photographer at the time, and I have to say I did everything he said. I think his first words to me were, "We don't fit the drinking in with the jobs. We fit the jobs in with the, with the drinking."
That is typical Sandel,
isn't it? Yeah. And basically speaking, we all did in those days. We all did night shifts, which were attached to the day shifts, weren't they? So I joined John on his night shifts, and. In those days, everywhere you went, every function you went to, hello, boys, welcome. Look, while we sort the pictures out for you, go to the bar and you can get yourself a drink.
Yeah.
Well, John was drinking pints. I mean, after a couple of pints, I'm on the floor. So I had to start drinking whiskey, which was much better for me because, you know, John was a big lad and he could hold it. But little me, a few shorts. It's just a job, it's a classic that people say. But he taught me everything I knew, and I think he did teach me everything I knew. In the early days,
I agree. I mean, he was certainly a help. He plus the fact that he's a top man, isn't he? He's a top man. He really was a nice guy, and he also played an axe in a band.
Yeah.
As well.
He still plays guitar.
Does he really?
Well, he plays in a banjo band. No, not a banjo band.
He does the ukulele band. Yeah. That's it.
I find that quite strange because none of the ukulele bands that I've ever bumped into actually play, when I'm cleaning windows or...
Right, a bit of George Formby.
Yeah. They sort of shy away from that completely. I think it's sort of... I don't know. It's...
A no-go area.
Yeah, but it's classic stuff, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's like, you know, Al Jolson, Mammy. Oh, you know, I mean...
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. definitely. Yeah. I mean, it was... Christ, it, well, he... I think he played in a dance band. I think it when in the early days. I was just kind of...
No, no, I tell you, no, it wasn't. John played in a little group. It was the Brindley Boys...
Who played
in the dance band.
That's it.
Steve Brindley played trumpet. Dave Brindley was
The Brindley Boys being the son of our chief photographer at the time, Jack Brindley, or Wacko Jacko, as we used to call him.
Yes. Yeah, we had a lot of Well, I mean, Jack was a tough cookie.
Oh, fuck really. Me, yeah, but big time.
To be fair, no, he was fair.
Yeah, I love the man. I did,
and. I mean, you know, if anybody outside the photograph department had a go at any of the photographers, there was hell to play. Jack stood there and sorted
it,
didn't
he? Yeah. He fronted it out, didn't he?
And then he came back and gave you a right ball again.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I owe Jack and John Sandel an awful lot. And Bill Richardson, who was the printer at that time, weren't he? Oh, Bill.
He was magic.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Some of the fun we had with Billy. Because poor old Billy, if you remember, he used to start work about 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, he did.
And by sort of 7:30, he'd got all the prints done. Because we were leaving our negatives and captions overnight. He'd come in the morning and print them all. That by 8:00, everything was ready to go for that day's paper. And there were no... air conditioning units or anything in those days. I mean, the dark room could get a bit steamy.
Oh, a bit like an Iraqi jail, weren't it, midsummer?
Yeah.
Oh, hell's bollocks.
One day there was a guy, I don't know whether you remember, it was a guy called Mick Cook. He worked downstairs in the comp room and he sort of dabbled in selling things. And he came in with a box full of perfumes, which he wanted photographing.
Right.
And there were a couple of, not aerosols, they're sort of aromatic sprays.
Yeah.
So... I nipped into the dark room with this aromatic spray, and while Billy was sort of doing his stuff on the wet bench, I sprayed his shirt all the way down the back. Now, he didn't hear it, and he obviously didn't... I mean, he just didn't know I'd been in and done that. Yeah. Anyway, the next morning, I came in about 7:30, and poor old Billy sitting on that three-legged stool we grab in the dark
room... Yeah, yeah.
..with his head in his hands, and I said, "Billy, what's the matter?" And he said, "Cat's left me." "No, Billy." "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I went home last night and she reckoned I'd been out with another woman. She could smell the perfume, so she's gone home to her mother's."
Really? Yeah. Bloody hell.
Then Jack heard about it. He said, "Get round there and
sort it out."
Yeah.
Because he got an obsession with Ingrid Bergman, hadn't he? Bill Richardson.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, Billy man. Was all right. Yeah.
He was a top man.
Yeah, there were two Billys, weren't there?
Yeah, there was, yeah. Have you enjoyed it, Dave? The 50 years?
I can honestly say I've never woken up in the morning and thought, "Oh, God, I've got to go to work." I'm always, you know. The thing was, we worked in a small department, didn't we?
Yeah.
If you didn't go to work that day, somebody else would have to work twice as hard.
Yeah, totally.
So there was no question of time off for being sick.
We didn't want time off, though, did you?
No. Well, I can only remember having half a day off sick in 50 years.
Really?
And that was because I'd got an abscess in my mouth. It looked as though somebody hit me with a cricket bat and Jack sent me home in the afternoon.
Right, okay.
After I'd finished putting all my eggs away.
Oh, yeah. Did the fucking job and then piss off.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, since then, I broke my pelvis in a car crash and I run over my foot with a lawnmower.
As you do.
Yeah. So I was off for about 6 weeks for those two, but they were accidents.
Yeah,
I mean,
that you couldn't avoid.
Yeah, apart from, you know, I mean, if you got a cold, you had to work. You know, there was no question. You know, anyway, so, yeah, of course I've enjoyed 50 years. I mean, you try to have a laugh every day, don't we? I mean,
totally. Oh, yeah, totally. Is it a similar thing to me? You know, it's all like, this is all I ever wanted to do. Was that the case with you?
I didn't know any better. Nick. I really did.
Really?
Because my Uncle Graham was a photographer.
Yeah.
And I mean, at one stage in the 80s, Uncle Graham was Anglia Television Stringer.
Yeah.
I'm on the Telegraph doing, you know, evening newspaper. My cousin Chris was on the Peterborough Standard as a photographer. My dear wife Jean was a reporter on the Advertiser.
Yeah.
And my cousin Jonathan also worked in with Uncle Graham. So there were five of us out of the family all doing the same job practically, you know. So, yeah, it's all I ever knew. It's all I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Yeah, well, exactly.
Get yourself a press card and get in everywhere free.
I mean, well, unfortunately, the press cards don't do that anymore. I don't even know if there is a press card.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've got one, yeah.
I left the NUJ because I thought they were a bunch of fucking tosspots.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because the other day it suddenly dawned on me that I've been an NUJ member for over 45 years.
Are you really?
Because at one point, just for a couple of years, we joined an organisation called the IOJ, Institute of Journalists.
Right.
So, yeah, 45 continuous years in the NUJ. So I rung them up and said, listen, you know, I must qualify for a life membership now. We'll look into it. Anyway, eventually they deemed that, yes, I would qualify for 45 years membership. Yeah, that was good. But that would only mean that your subs went down to half.
Did I?
Because I'm carrying on working, I've still got to pay half my subs. And then if I pack up work, then I'll get my NUJ membership for free.
What fucking use would it be then?
That's exactly what I said. Why would I want to be a member of the NUJ when I didn't work?
Well, that's one of the... Not obviously, that situation didn't experience, but that was one of the reasons why I jumped ship from them, because I mean, when we were first in the NUJ, it was a real rigorous process, wasn't it, to get
God,
in the door.
It was closed shop, wasn't
it? It was totally and they didn't take any Tom, Dick and Nobchies, you know. But now I didn't even know that it was still going, but it was one of the most powerful unions in the country, weren't it, along with the rail and power and all them people.
Yeah, I mean, The NGA and the downstairs where the comps worked, the National Graphic Association, they had SOGAT, I don't know what they stand for, and Slade. Now, if they went out on strike, the newspaper stopped.
End of, yeah.
If the NUJ went out on strike, the editor just did it.
Yeah.
The paper still came out.
Yeah.
So there we are. I mean, when new technology came in, we thought, this is it. We're okay now. We'll have our fingers on the button. But it never seemed to happen, you know.
Highlights. Highlights of the last 50 years. But don't try not to think about them too much. Just some really standout ones that you think, oh, shit, yeah, that.
Well, I mean, one of my favourite pictures, one of the best jobs I've done was in the early 80s. And the RAF had set up a flight to go and photograph the GR7 Harrier jump jets.
Okay.
So we all applied. Well, myself and I don't even remember Ken Willis. He was on.
Yeah, I remember Ken. Yeah.
Well, we both applied to go on this thing, and we were told to be at Wittering at like 9:30 in the morning, you know. And funny enough, we stood in the guardhouse. And this chap said, an officer's going to come and pick you up. So this flight lieutenant comes through the door. He said, you must be the happy snappy chappies. I said, yeah, that's us, mate. Are you Biggles by any chance? I found out later he was only a flight lieutenant navigator, which is like the lowest of the low.
Oh, okay.
If you're a pilot, you know.
Oh, right, bit Mickey, yeah.
Anyway, we turn up in this room. There must have been 30 photographers there, I should think. You know, TV, specialist magazines, national newspapers, and me and Ken. And we thought, we ain't got a cat and mouse chance of getting on this. Not a chance, you know. Anyway, this guy stands up and he said, right, he said, obviously there are 30 of you, there are only 8 places on the plane. So what we've decided to do is we're going to have one representative from TV, one representative from the Nationals, one representative from specialist magazines, one of our lads, and that leaves an evening newspaper, a weekly newspaper, and somebody else. So Ken and I both got on this plane.
Oh, right.
So they flew us up to, took us up to, I don't know, 7 or 8,000 feet in a Hercules, opened the back. We sat on the back, and they put a flight of Harriers behind us. And I'm saying to the...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm saying to the... It was bloody cold, but... And I'm saying to the jump master, this guy's not quite in the right place. Are you in radio contact with him? He said, yeah, I am. He said, but just wave at him and tell him where you want to go. So I sort of waved at the guy and pointed up, and the Harrier went up and pointed left, and he took it. It was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, really?
Mm. Great pictures.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, the story goes on that the next day we had a double-page spread, a front-page picture and a double-page spread in the Telegraph on the flight itself. Fantastic pictures. So I flew on a Tuesday. They went in the paper on a Wednesday. Thursday morning, I'm in Yaxley doing this little event in the village hall where they're trying to raise a few quid for something.
Yeah.
And it's one of those jobs where you open the door and looked in, you thought, fucking hell, what am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
And in the corner, I saw this rare breed stand. And I thought, oh, that might make a picture. And there was an illuminated cage on this table. And I looked in this illuminated cage, and there, hanging up upside down, was an Indian fruit bat.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, I could definitely probably get a picture of this woman, you know, looking at the fruit bat, yeah, this sort of thing. And then I looked at the bottom of the Indian fruit bat's cage, and the lining was my Harrier picture from the day before.
Was it really?
Yeah. And I said to this woman, listen, love, you know, today's news, tomorrow's fish and chip paper, I can put up with.
Yeah.
But today's news, tomorrow being crapped on by an Indian fruit bat, is just too much.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, yeah. Fucking hell, what happened to creative license?
Oh, I don't know. it just shows you how fickle this job is. You know, you go into a school and there's some kids painting on boards, you know, and the floor's lined with your work from a couple of weeks ago that you sweat blood over, yeah, you know. Yeah. There you go, that's life, isn't it?
Well, that's the dual life of a newspaper, isn't it, really? You know, years ago you would use it for all types of things, lagging things, yeah, wouldn't it? Sticking in fucking boxes, wrapping shit up, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
The favourite cutlery or crockery and all that. Oh, well, let's have a newspaper.
Yeah.
But it's funny because people don't do that anymore.
No.
And it happened a couple of weeks ago to me. I said, what we really need here is a newspaper. You got a newspaper? Don't have a newspaper.
No.
I said, don't you get one? No, I ain't had one for years. Mm. Where my mum, we had at home, we had the Evening Telegraph every night.
Mm.
And it was an event. It really was.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have a paper boy, or I think it was a paper girl, was the last kind of few years I spent at my, you know, kind of family home. And she used to come every night pretty much the same time, and my mum would read it from page front cover to back cover.
Yeah.
And would do that every night.
Yeah.
It was an event.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember, you know, for instance, I mean, my mother-in-law lived in this house obviously before me, and she had the Telegraph every night.
Yeah.
And when I came in, she'd tell me what was in the paper. That did you? There's a story in the Telegraph tonight about so and so and so and so. And I'd say, well, yeah, well, actually, I did that.
Yeah,
she was telling you.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, she'd read it, and then she'd take it next door, and the old lady next door would read it, she'd pass it on to the next one.
Yeah, because circulation of what I think at its
33,000.
That was at its peak.
Yeah.
Yeah, a night.
But they reckon that the readership was double that.
Yeah. And then what came on at the back of that, or it being left in a train and all this kind of stuff, or dentists and all that shit.
Yeah,
which
had
is
a shelf life.
Yeah, it did, which was pretty much indefinite, weren't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's bloody great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I know certainly, again, when I was at home, you know, you take the carpets up when we had new carpets, and newspapers had been put down, you know, and you'd end up there crouching on the floor reading these fucking
that's
stories
right, yeah.
from, you know,
from, yeah,
God knows
like the,
when.
The Sun in 1960.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Bloody wonderful, man. It really was. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's such a shame, really. Although, obviously, the Nationals are still going. And, I mean, I do believe there's quite a lot of new magazines that are now on the racks.
Yeah.
You know, so the printed word still seems to be favourable to a degree.
Yeah.
But I know things like some of the magazines I've worked for, Progressive Rock magazine, which is a specialist mag. I mean, it's got a circulation of about 15,000.
Yeah.
It's monkeys.
Yeah.
What's absolutely monkey stuff.
Is Smash Hit still going, or is that stopped? Because that was an EMAP one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether that's still going. Yeah. I know there is quite a new, quite a few, should I say, new magazines that have come onto the racks. Mm. You know, how long they'll last, I don't really know. Yeah. But there are some not music magazines. Well, music magazines there is, but there isn't new music papers. You know, like Melody Maker and New Musical Express. There's still the NME, but it's a load of bloody dog shit.
Yeah.
In fact, you wouldn't even put your fucking chips in that.
No.
You know, because it's nonsense along with the music. But it's. I mean, it's fascinating, man. It's. Like I say, it's so good for me to kind of hook up and, you know, for us to be back in touch and spend time together and reminisce about all these things, because obviously it's where I started. It's the floorboards,
it's,
man.
It's a history.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It is.
I mean, we were working in newspapers when, for instance, you know, journalists would have the same salary level as doctors and nurses, nurses went down a little bit, didn't they? But and people had respect for you, didn't they?
Oh, totally. I mean, anybody worked for the press, you know, you were a god, were you?
Yeah, and you were sort of almost an exclusive item, in as much as if you didn't get in the Telegraph, it wasn't going to get in anywhere.
No, totally agree. Mm. Totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a real kind of naff question. I mean, when people ask me when I'm doing interviews, they say, "What's the worst thing that you ever did?" And I hate that question, but I'm going to ask it really, Dave, because your working life day to day, week to week, is a very versatile experience, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, just kind of pick out a few things and say, you know, that was a right fucking bark, or, you know.
There are people that you bump into who are just arseholes, aren't they?
Oh, a lot of them, yeah.
And, you know, you've got to work, at the end of the day, you've got to work with them. So I find that, you know, I mean, some members of royalty are quite difficult to work with. And there are a couple that aren't. I mean, the Queen wasn't bad.
Okay.
Queen Mother was brilliant. Prince Charles, as he was fine. But some of the others, very difficult.
Really?
I mean, it was basically, we were good at what we were doing, and they were just as good at trying to make sure you didn't get what you wanted.
Right, got it. Who are we talking about here?
Prince Philip was a right so-and-so.
Really?
Yeah.
He was as bad as the rumours?
Yeah.
Okay.
If he was walking towards you and he saw you in front of him, he'd turn right very quickly and go somewhere else.
Really?
You know, something, yeah. Princess Anne was difficult. But having said that, I have to give Princess Anne, she has done a lot of work. She's probably the hardest working royal there's ever been.
Yeah.
And she's been, you know, she's not the sort who'd be visiting nice playgroups and things like that.
Okay.
She, you know, she'd be out in Africa, sort of, you know, in the muck and the...
Right, you know, okay.
Yeah. It's, you'll know just as well, some celebrities are great, some celebrities are terrible.
Mm.
I mean, recently I did Elton John. He was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Really professional outfit that he's got set up. Bryan Adams, my goodness.
Really?
Bryan Adams. I turned up at the Bryan Adams concert. We were told to be there at 6 o'clock. This guy comes out. No, lads, come back at 8. We ain't got time to bother with you at the moment. Oh.
Sounds about right.
Well, what are we supposed to do now? You know, I said, you got any dominoes or cards I can borrow off you and we'll be sitting, you know. Anyway, he came back out at 8 and he said, right, you can come through now. You've got 1:40 to take your pictures.
Fuck it down, man.
And I laughed and he said, have I said something funny? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, you have. I said, because if you think it's going to take me 1:40 to take a picture of one bloke twanging on a guitar on stage, you've got another thing coming.
Yeah.
So,
Was that Peterborough?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought, because he did the embankment, didn't he? Was it Peterborough embankment he did?
Yeah. I did Status Quo. They were difficult.
No, I worked with the Quo 4 times.
Yeah.
And lovely bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Oh, so polished, so professional.
I suppose sometimes really good. You just bump into them when they're in a bad mood, don't you?
Well, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, certainly, Dave, most of the issues that I have encountered over the years is these monkeys in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely nonsense. It really is.
Yeah.
Most of the artists, I've never had a bother with them at all.
Yeah. You're right there, actually. I mean, I remember going to Perkins Engines in town, actually took over a part of Rolls-Royce.
Oh, right.
And they were based in Shrewsbury, whichever part of the country you come from.
Yeah.
And they make tanks there, or tank engines, and this, that, and the other. So we're sent over to interview the chairman of the company. And we get there, we're taken into the boardroom, typical boardroom, long table. There's the chairman sitting at one end, I'm sitting at the other, the reporter sitting next to me with a PR guy.
Yep.
And I did half a dozen headshots of him, and that's all I could do in the boardroom. And the PR said, right, that's it, interview terminated. I said, just a minute. I said, I've come all the way from Peterborough to do this. I've only got half a dozen headshots. He said, well, that's it, you don't get any more, that's your lot.
No, I mean, dear.
The reporter then pipes up and says, oh, excuse me, I couldn't use a loo, could I? So he had to be escorted to the loo because it was in, you know...
And this is Rolls Royce, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm sitting there on my own and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. And it was rather like, I don't even remember the boardroom at EMAP.
Yeah.
The Winfreys came into the boardroom through like a wood panel in the door, didn't
I remember
they?
That, yeah.
A wood panel in the wall. Yeah. This was the same. So it suddenly dawns on me, the chairman's office is just through that wood panel. So I went over, knocks on the door, and he said, can I help you? I said, well, actually, chairman, I could do with some more pictures. Oh, like what? I said, well, I could really do with a picture of you sitting on a tank. So he grabbed his jacket. He said, come on. He said, I get fed up of sitting in this office all day on my own. He said, let's go and have a bit of fun. So I got the tour of the works. And it's not the chairman who doesn't want his picture taken or isn't prepared to do anything. Mm. It's the PR who's too scared to ask.
Oh, totally. Mm. Yeah. And losing to grandeur, these people have got, really. Yeah. Oh, dear, oh, dear. It's a nonsense. It's a nonsense. This whole game, I mean, it as you know, the stuff I do is different because it's commissioned by the bands or the labels or management or whatever. So I have access to pretty much, you know, carte blanche to do what I want to do. But, I mean... You know, it's a relationship-based thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. And certainly for you guys, because you get on with nice people and people have got to be accommodated and help you out. And, you know, it's you look after each other, don't you?
Yeah. I always say to anybody who'd ask for advice, I mean, number one, smile. Number two, shake as many hands as you can.
Yeah.
Number three, never mind the man at the top. Because somebody said to me recently, oh, you must know everybody who's important in town. I do. But I also know all the lads who are on the gates outside.
Yeah.
Because without knowing those guys the gate, you don't get in to see the important chap,
No. And certainly in this day and age where everything is security and all this nonsense, and it really is.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked hard on that for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Every time I leave a venue, I make sure that I sort of wave or pat my horn or whatnot to the security guard on the way out.
Oh, yeah, and it is.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. It is all about helping each other out and being civil, friendly, civil.
Of course, he'll remember me the next time. Oh, mate, how are you? Come through.
Think, oh, fuck, it's that bastard. He's back.
Oh, God, it's Lounsey again. Just let him in, you know, yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, you know, which is the kind of best decade?
Oh, undoubtedly, the late 70s, the early 80s were the best. Because, you know, people considered publicity important. It's something you had to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Now,
to a certain extent, you're a necessary evil.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not all like that. I mean, you know, but there are people who just, you know, don't want to play ball with you.
I think it was a lot looser in those days as well, weren't it? I mean, I remember, well, the first time I went onto the news desk floor at the ET, I was shocked, man. I'm shocked. I mean, bearing in mind I'm 15, straight out of school.
Yeah.
I always had to get there early in the morning. I always got there earlier in the morning. And you walked through the newsroom, and there was just long desks. Do you remember the desks were really long?
Yeah.
Ashtrays piled up.
Yeah.
5 or 6 inches high, weren't they, with dog ends?
Yeah,
and
right,
bottles of scotch and everything. Yeah. And it was that was standard NATO, wasn't it? It was standard NATO.
Yeah.
That kind of condition.
Yeah, and and there were a lot of people there as well, weren't there?
Yeah, there
because,
was.
Because, you know, I mean, in those days we had a sports department. You'd got a motoring correspondent, a TV correspondent, agricultural correspondent, Jimmy James, God rest his soul, woman's editor. The list.
It was a proper gig, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a proper gig.
Yeah.
It really was. Fantastic days, man. Mm. Fantastic days.
And money was no object as well. I mean, I think every week I'd be sent out of town for something, you know, be sent to London to, maybe go to the motor show, go to the boat show,
exhibition, I remember
all that sort of stuff.
Were they just trying to get rid of you?
Probably, yeah. Especially one day when they sent me to Liverpool to do a feature on the rare diseases. I don't know what it was, but I mean, you went into this place and there were just like fish tanks all over the place full of like mosquitoes and
really?
Yeah.
Some research vibe.
Yeah, tropical disease.
In Liverpool?
Centre in Liverpool, I think I was itching all the way back after that.
Bugger me, man. Can you get a tropical disease in Liverpool?
Yeah.
Or probably not now, because they've eradicated it, because that's where they did the research.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But yeah, and I say, they were prepared to spend money on just features and they were really interested, you know.
Yeah.
Now nobody goes anywhere. You know,
do you remember the Girl Fridays? Do you remember them? They were great, man, weren't they?
Rhyming.
You couldn't get away with that shit, could you?
Can you undo another button, please, love?
Fuck me, man. Don't you remember? Because they'd comb the city, wouldn't they?
I know.
Looking for good looking girls, you know, and it was a great. I never got involved in that shit though, was a bit of a bark.
Well, it was all Billy. Well, there was Billy Goddard was a. I don't even remember.
Yeah, and Pat Grooms. Pat Grooms also did a lot.
Yeah, we were too young. Weren't we?
Yeah,
too
I think we were.
Innocent.
Yeah,
yeah. More. I mean, in those days, we were more interested in sport and things like that. Perhaps you weren't, Nick.
Well,
you were.
I mean, from the swimming.
Yeah,
from the swimming perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember that, Christ, down Peterborough Lido, and they'd be combing the place looking for a bit of a sort who was, you know, I'll go and have a word with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
You couldn't get away with that now, could you?
Jesus
H, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, you've got to be so careful now what you say to people, haven't you?
Oh, Christ.
You know, it's the old thing, you can't say to somebody, oh, where do you come from? You're in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now this gender thing.
Yeah.
Which, that's a little bit of a kind of, minefield,
isn't it?
Bloody hell, man. It must be for you guys.
Yeah, to a certain extent. It's like walking on broken eggshells or whatever, you know. Yeah, it is difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
I always said, I was talking to a copper not so long ago when I'm stood behind the tapes on a murder inquiry.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, I fancy committing murder. And he said, you what? I said, well, I want to commit murder, but I want to commit murder 3 times. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, there's 3 people I'd like to get rid of. And he said, who? And I said, well, first of all, the person who invented health and safety.
Right.
Because that ruined our our jobs, didn't we? We used to climb chimneys and cranes and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it was a Fred Dibner vibe, weren't it? That was.
No, I went up with Fred Dibner.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't go up to the top. I couldn't make it.
Oh, no, no. I don't do heights, man. I don't.
Well, it wasn't that. I was knackered.
You know, oh, really?
Vertical climbing, yeah.
Up the side of the bloody chimneys.
Yeah.
Open ladders.
Yeah. And then the second person I'd like to get rid of would be the person who invented PC.
Right.
And the third person would be the idiot who invented GDPR, I reckon.
What the hell's that?
Well, it's data protection, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's, you know, you're just not allowed people... It's a good excuse not to tell you anything. You know, it's like health and safety. We always said health and safety was brought in so that they could stop you going into a factory or something by saying, oh, you're not wearing the right... protective gear and all this sort of stuff, you know. So, yeah. There you go. But,
excuse me.
I mean, generally speaking, I mean, as you say, we had a good life, didn't we?
Oh, I think it's been a blast. Yeah. I mean, as you know, I jumped ship, you know, quite early into my kind of press career. But, I mean, I owe Peterborough, Evening Telegraph, Jack Brindley, John Sandall, and all the guys there, Jimmy Oakes, Pat Grooms.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be where I am today without them.
No.
You know, and I think I would have to kind of pin the biggest badge on to Jack Brindley, because him and Bill Richardson, they taught me so much. And discipline with the job, you know, in a world where you did get disciplined if you didn't do the thing right.
Oh, right, didn't you?
You know,
yeah.
There weren't none of this, hang on, should we sit down and have a coffee? And let's go to Costa and have you got a mental health problem? You know, and all this shite.
Yeah, you just pinned up against the wall. You do totally. That again and you're out.
Totally, totally.
Didn't do us any harm, did
it? None whatsoever.
No.
None whatsoever. No. And I mean, I think, you know, excuse me, because I've got a wicked issue with my throat. But I think, really, I mean, for me, Dave, it's an honour, man, to sit here with, you know, somebody like you, outside the friend thing, but from the professional point of view, you know, you're a legend, man.
Yeah.
You're a legend.
I say the same thing, Nick, really. I mean, you know, I think I've been, it's been an honour and a privilege for me. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, anything that's happened in Peterborough in the last, you know, 50 years, anything exciting, anything important, anything that you know, needs covering, I've been at the front.
Yeah.
I've been stood at the front for everything. And, you know, you can't buy that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just, it has been a privilege, yeah. And it's been a privilege to meet so many people as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know as well as I do, a camera can bloody well work itself these days.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's what you've got.
It's the eye, man.
In between your ears.
It's the eye.
And it's your ability to communicate with people.
Mm.
And unfortunately now, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, one of the skills of us, or you know, as a photographer, is to make someone else do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
Or you know. Whether they like it or not. And that sort of art of communication and manipulation has been totally lost.
Mm.
These days, you know, people can't look you in the eye, can they?
Well, people, we don't talk in this country anymore, do we?
No.
We don't talk about anything, which I think is, you know, obviously on another subject, which we probably won't go there on this particular show. But, you know, I think that's why people have got so many kind of mental issues and all these kind of problems that seem to be fashionable in this country now. You know, sit down and talk. Give some time to everybody, to people that are close to you. Show love, you know, listen to what these people have got to say and be there for them.
Yeah, and have a laugh, you know, while you're doing
fucking
it.
Right, it's all about having a giggle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And on that note, listeners, I think we're going to kind of wrap up tonight. We're going to come back because this is definitely a two-parter, if not a three-parter, of hearing about Dave Lowndes' career. So we're going to say goodnight now, and I'm going to jump ship and have a tab. That's what we're going to do.
Good night, listeners.
But I'd like to thank you for coming on, Dave. It's been an absolute pleasure, and let's come back for show 9.
Yeah, that'd be great fun. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks ever so much, guys, for listening. And this has been the legend that is Dave Lowndes.
Good night and good luck.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.